Good morning to all here. We'd like to gather together and sing out of voices together, or the words will be up on the screen. The Mountain of God, number 11, if you're using the book. Come as you are, let's come and worship God. Let's stand. Thank you for that singing, for Grace and Ken for leading us in that as well. So welcome again to this Sunday worship service, and I'd like to ask you to join me in the call to worship written in your bulletin. Welcome to worship at this turn of the season. As the temperatures dip, we gather in the warmth of God's presence. As the darkness grows, we seek God's light. As the earth rests from its labors, we long for God's peace. Come, let us worship the Lord. Let us praise God by singing hymn number 76 in the blue hymnal, Praise, I Will Praise You, Lord. 76. Let's stand.
Thank you.
Okay, now I can really welcome you again. I wanted you to go up and down and sing every now and then. So thank you for joining us and coming to worship, everyone here in the building as well as online if you're listening and watching. Today is Peace Sunday, and as you notice, the bulletin cover is also the bulletin cover from MCC, Defending Hope. We want to remember the communities this morning, near and far, people around the world that face hatred, violence, and injustice in their daily lives. MCC has put together a packet for churches to use today, written by the churches in Africa, Asia, Latin America, and the Middle East. And it's actually titled Defending Hope. And in the information packet, there's a lot of descriptions of the MCC projects that are taking place in those countries, as well as devotionals and personal stories of the people that have been involved in these projects. People who have offered their volunteer time and who have benefited to make their lives more of a peaceful place. Every little effort people make, whether here or there, will make a difference in their lives. The scripture passage that the resource packet is using is from 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. For the next little section, I'm going to ask Rowan to come up and help me. It's a short story, as well as also a question period for you. So you can come up to the mic, Rowan. When I start a Sunday school class, I often ask the question, what do these objects, these names, have in common? What do they have in common? And then they have to look at them and put them in order, or decide what belongs and what doesn't belong, or what's in, yeah. So, for you today, I want you to listen to these names of people, and what do they have in common? Harriet Tubman.
Gandhi.
Leo Tolstoy.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Mother Teresa.
Saint Francis of Assisi.
Corrie ten Boom.
Elizabeth Fry.
Menno Simons.
Rosa Parks.
John Lennon. And many, many more. These people are considered peacemakers. Ordinary people, ordinary lives, who spoke out and acted for justice and peace in their communities to make a difference. But we can't always do that. Maybe there are other smaller ways we can make a difference and affect people's lives. We're going to read a short story called The Mouse and the Dove. Tell me the weight of a snowflake, a coal mouse asked a wild dove.
Nothing more than nothing, was the answer.
In that case, I must tell you a marvelous story, the coal mouse said. I sat on a branch of a fir tree close to its trunk when it began to snow.
Not heavily, not in a raging blizzard.
No, just like in a dream.
Without any violence.
Since I didn't have anything better to do, I counted the snowflakes settling on the twigs and needles of my branch.
Their number was exactly 3,700,000. 952.
When the next snowflake dropped onto the branch,
nothing more than nothing, as you say,
the branch broke off.
Having said that, the coal mouse fled away.
The dove, since Noah's time, an authority on the matter, thought about the story for a while and mused.
Perhaps there is only one person lacking for peace to come about in the world.
Perhaps it could be me, or you, that can make a difference. Fill us with your peace, Lord, peace that passes understanding.
Peace that bubbles over.
Peace that needs to be shared.
So that we can be your disciples.
With good news for our neighbors near at hand and our neighbors far away. Amen. And let's sing the song in the Sing the Journey, number 56, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, or Make Me an Instrument of Your Peace. And the words were written by St. Francis of Assisi. This is our prayer. Let's stand.
Good morning and welcome here. And I am sure that as you came in, whomever you passed as you were coming through the lobby, you greeted them and you made them feel welcome. And as we exit the building on our way to our other activities, you will again greet, welcome, and express your appreciation of your brothers and sisters. We, this ragtag community. I want to welcome also the people that are on their computers or on their big screen. I think you can probably attach whatever live streaming to as big a screen as you have in your house. And so it does feel like you are right in the midst of us. I love the camera angle that we experience there. Others who have been at home for various reasons have said the same thing. It feels like you're sitting in one more of the benches. Just too bad that we can't see all of the benches. The people on this side, you make sure that the back of your hair is in place because that's what people are looking all the whole morning. Or you can turn around and just face them and say hello. I am here not only to entertain but also to direct our thoughts to the announcements, which are our opportunities. The announcements in the bulletin provide lots of different opportunities for different activities, different outlets for expressing our faith, our belief, and our sense of community. Today, immediately following the service, as we did last Sunday, we'll have a brief discussion about the revisions that were made to the potential new constitution. For those who were not able to stay last Sunday or who forgot what they were going to say about those revisions, you have another chance today. And then following that, the leadership team will convene. Oh, it says meet at 1:30. I thought we were going to meet right after the meeting, but I've been wrong before. Next Sunday is our communion service, and for those who are concerned about the passing of elements, just lay that to rest because we still have the pre-filled communion cups, which we will be using, not for distribution, but when you come in, you'll pick it up from the tray at the back, and then you can proceed to your seat as we have done the last two or three times. And we'll continue to do that as long as is necessary. Some of you have the opportunity, which I'm sure that you love, to write, to creatively write reports about all of the things that you have been doing throughout the year on behalf of different committees. And then after those things have been written, the rest of us will have the opportunity to read those reports. Now, please don't roll your eyes, but just think of the wonderful review of all of the things that have kept us busy and have kept us united throughout this year. That's what that report book is. And maybe to also germinate new ideas for next year. Thinking, why didn't we do this or that? And we lean forward, leaning into the next year. Sing the journey and sing the storybooks, or that sounds interesting, sing the storybooks. We all have storybooks. Usually we don't sing them, but this book we do sing from, and some are available. Grace is going to pick them up, so there won't be any transport costs, there won't be any costs at all. So if you are one of those few who don't have one of these in your own possession at home, or for those who are at home right now saying, I wish I could sing along to the service, you can have your own copy. Well, there's a limited availability. So if you would like one of these, phone the office this week. It's imperative. The Canadian Mennonite is up for subscription, your opportunity to read that magazine. They come in very regularly. I spoke to another person just this week who said they have a pile of these Canadian Mennonites that they keep saving because they intend to read them. You get it, you flip through it and think, oh, that's interesting. Oh, I want to read that. And then you get, you know, distracted by other things. The magazine is really worth having. And then when you meet other people who are also reading it, you can say, what did you think about that article? And what's your opinion on this topic? It's continuing education, let's call it that. Then there is a list of coming events going all the way into February. I want to start at the bottom there. February 18th, that's our portable with Harry Huebner. I mentioned it last week. Mark your calendar, start inviting your friends, and we hope that it will all be in person. In January, we also hope to be gathering to tie quilts together, as we are used to doing, not just one at a time or two at a time, but for an entire day. That is our hope. On December 18th, we have hope that we will meet for a Christmas meal together, not in this building, because there is no eating and drinking in our premises, but at the Modern. It says at Modern, at the Modern, just as there is only the first Mennonite. You can make your list of how many first Mennonites you know, but here I'm pretty sure there's only one Modern. And then the most up-to-date, I'm sure you already have this on your calendar, Saturday, November 20th, 10 o'clock, we will meet here for our annual congregational meeting. And there are some significant items that need your attendance and on which you will be voting. So if you want to make sure that your voice is heard, or at least on paper, please do attend. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessing on your world that you have created, that you set in motion, and we humble ourselves before you to worship you, to recognize you as God. We humble ourselves in confession of our own sin and shortcomings to you and to our neighbor. We recognize that we are not perfect. We do not have all the answers, and that some of our answers are wrong answers. We confess this. We confess it to you, and we confess it to each other. Help us to continue to humble ourselves before each other. Thank you for the opportunities that we have to become more and more humble as we recognize, especially in our indigenous neighbors and other cultures, other people groups, that we have so much to learn. Give us ears that hear and eyes that see, and hearts that are soft to receive, so that this gospel of peace of which we speak would truly go forth through us as channels in kindness and meekness and gentleness. This is our desire, although we know that we fall short of that goal. Thank you for your perseverance toward us and towards all of humankind and towards all that you have created. Help us to be co-laborers together with you as you lead and guide and direct. We ask that you would assist us in our grieving. Teach us through grief what life is and how precious it is. Comfort those who continue to mourn, which is probably all of us. Whether we know it or not, we bring our weeping selves to you because our world is still struggling with this pandemic, and we pray that those who struggle against it will continue to persevere, and that the divisions it has caused would find ways of healing. Help us to keep being people of healing, not hurt. People of unity, not division. And we pray together with the other churches in Swift Current, especially today, St. Andrew's Presbyterian. And we pray for our sister Mennonite Church in Nutana Park and their leaders. May we all be communities and churches of peace in our unique ways and unique opportunities. And while we do this, we support one another in our personal needs, our personal lives, sharing our hurts and our sorrows and our disappointments, sharing our needs, humbling ourselves before each other. And we pray for so many others who are struggling with health, with loss of health, with loss of mobility, with loss of freedom, and what it just seems loss upon loss. What is left? Is there no gain? We pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would encourage each of us. Encourage us to encourage one another, to lift each other up, to strengthen, maybe even if it is in a silent, still way, bowed head, concerned and caring, loving one another the way you taught us. And so we also pray the way you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The next song is also a prayer, asking Christ to be our light in our darkness, to come into our church, and to give us courage to help and serve each other. 54, in Sing the Journey. Song number 54, Longing for Light. Let's stand, please.
Thank you. Can you take your Bibles? There are some in the pews there. We are going to read 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 to 13, and I'm reading from the New International Version. This is a request for prayer. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people. For not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Warning against idleness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Defending Hope is the title that MCC chose for this Sunday, and this is their Peace Sunday. But that was where the similarities came to an end. I read their material, and it was extensive and well put together. And yet, I felt it was a good springboard, but not something that I could delve into for our sake and for our situation. We have to be honest about who we are, what we are, and what is the truth that we need to hear and to focus on and to think about. What will move us forward from where we are? And I was surprised to find out how many times, no matter what I was reading or attending to, I was stumbling over the word hope. It seemed that every article, every book, I was reading a variety of things, not only for this message. Everywhere I looked, hope, 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 everywhere. Which was very encouraging, especially in a time when many of us are looking around and saying, where is the hope? Where is hope? We seem to have lost sight of it, or lost our grasp on it, or maybe given up even looking for it. I would like to invite us back to becoming more fully engaged in God's activities of hope, of justice, and peace. This is God's mission, God's agenda, God's vision. We're just invited to join the team. Sign on for another season. That's the invitation today, to be actively involved in God's struggle for peace and justice. There are some who, when they get up in the morning, will say, "Why should I bother making my bed? I'm only going to sleep in it again tonight." Isn't that true? Why bother? I've got a better one. Why bother dusting? I'll leave that alone. We know what that is like. And sometimes that mindset of why even bother? It feels like a waste of time, a waste of effort. It's just going to come back anyway. I can use my time in other ways. God's invitation to us to act together with God for God's agenda is always worthwhile. And our activities demonstrate the authenticity and the depth of our belief in the hope that is in Jesus Christ. The work is already complete, is it not? The work of salvation is complete through Jesus Christ. However, the work goes on. And because the work is complete, salvation is already here and actively working in our world, then we can simply get on board and say, yes, I can keep working in this way because it's already started. It's already here. Some would say it's already even finished. The depth of our faith, the depth of our belief in the hope of Christ will be demonstrated in our activities. Now, if we don't really believe it, we won't really get involved or active in it. We'll get to that. But first of all, we need to be involved. We know we have the invitation. We've got the card because we are a peace church. I say we as Zion Mennonite Church, as this community gathered here, and many others around the province, around Canada, around the world. We are a peace church. And some of you recognize this book. This is the handbook. It has become the handbook. It's not really. I'm just joking. Palmer Becker wrote this and made it a very concise way to grasp what is our belief system. And chapter 3, or the third prong, the first and the second have to do with Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the center of our faith. Let's not make any mistake about that. But then from there, chapter 3, or the third prong, or the third spoke, or whatever you want to say, reconciliation is the center of our work. Reconciliation is the center of our work. It's what we're all about. Can I read just a small chapter? It's on page 111. While some followers of Christ say evangelism is at the center of our work, others say peace building is most important. In truth, both evangelism and peace building are essential. Our third core value brings these two aspects of the Christian faith together in the word reconciliation. Peace building is an aspect of reconciliation. We are a peace church. We're all about peace. Now, what exactly does that mean? How does that affect me? And am I involved? MCC has invited us to consider four different countries, areas around the world where there are Mennonite churches, where there are believers who are living without peace. They have the peace of Christ, but they are not living in the fullness of peace, the shalom, the well-being. Those countries, those areas are Sudan, North Korea, Palestine, and Colombia. And there were many stories and personal items in the material about these countries, about people in these countries, saying, we are not living in peace. We are not experiencing this peace. And because we are not experiencing it, we are losing hope. Will this peace ever come? And I think for many of us, if we talk about peace in the Middle East, we also have lost any semblance of hope that that will ever come. 1 Thessalonians, I'm sure you already, you still have your Bibles open. 2 Thessalonians, you turn back a couple of pages and you'll find 1 Thessalonians, the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, verse 2. He refers to this. He says, we always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope. This is not just an intellectual enterprise. It's not just your belief system. Your theology was correct. We remember you and we're thankful, remembering your work of faith, your labor of love. This hope, this faith is not just intellectual belief. It's not just a system. It is an active. Look at verse 9 of the same chapter. For the people of these regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. You turned from this to serve this. You turned away from one thing and decided, no, that's not the way I want to live. I want to do this. Activate. Many times we get offers online, don't we? Even the Tim Hortons app on your phone. You get these offers. Oh, yeah, there they are. Woohoo! I'm going to get a free coffee or a free donut. What do you need to do? Hit the red button that says activate. You have to activate to take hold of those offers. Same thing here. We might think about this. We've heard it a million times. We hear it every Sunday. We hear it on the radio. We hear it everywhere. But we need to activate it. It's not just up here in the head. And because the world is so large and we have information from all around the world through MCC and through all of the news outlets, we begin to feel overwhelmed and discouraged. There's too much out there. The job is too big to handle. What on earth can we do? And many here, even in this congregation, have begun to say, oh, poor us, our shrinking congregation. When was the last time you heard that? Yesterday? Maybe today. It's a common phrase. We are becoming smaller and smaller. What can we do? We start to feel overwhelmed and discouraged. And you know what? This sense of hopelessness, it's hopeless, this actually leads to idleness. Doesn't that make sense? When you have lost hope, you lose incentive, and then we actually become idle because we don't see any point in our labor. So although we claim the name Peace Church, perhaps because the task is so large and we see ourselves as so small and so uninfluential, we have started to feel hopeless and become idle. However, it doesn't end here. And I want to invite us to think about ourselves in a way that might not be comfortable for some of us. Okay, so that's just the warning, first of all. I remember speaking to a group of Indian students, Indian as in India. They were at a Bible college in India, and I was teaching a course there. And I read part of the text that says, O worm Jacob. They did not appreciate that. They didn't want to think about themselves in that way, as worms. I'm not a worm, so I'm just warning you. For those writing down scripture texts, you can write down Proverbs chapter 30, verses 25 to 28. I won't read all of those verses, but in that section, there is reference not to worms, but to ants and lizards, the animal kingdom, all of God's great creation. And where I'm leading us is away from the hopelessness, the sense of dejection, and leading to idleness. Rather, look at the ants. Let's just start there. Look at the ants. They don't have the queen bee, as Herman was teaching us last Sunday. But the ants, they're tiny, aren't they? Sometimes they're so tiny they will bite you and you can't even see them. But these tiny, tiny little ants, they will work together, struggle together. And they can move, I don't want to say mountains, but probably. They move things that are way beyond their own weight. It doesn't need to be great and grand, but simply put your hands to the task and work together. Another way to encourage ourselves, besides the Proverbs text, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, hey, I didn't choose the best and the brightest. God didn't choose only what was wise and grand and great and strong, you know, that has the best plan. Who did God choose? We know. We know what that text says. God chose the weak. We don't want to be weak. We don't want to be labeled as weak or small. But God chose the weak. So we should celebrate in our weakness. When I am weak, then am I strong. If we want to do it on our own and in our own greatness, we're going to fail. We will fail. But here, we are encouraged in our smallness, in our weakness. Continue the task at hand. Be like the ants. They are busy night and day. And God chose the small things to shame the strong. God chose what is weak. So those of us chosen, which is all of us, God has chosen us to labor together with him to work for peace. So now let's look at the 2 Thessalonians passage. How on earth is this work supposed to be done? Don't talk to me about work. I have retired, people will tell me. I'm long past the time of work. I did all my work when I was 30, 40, and 50. I don't need to. Now I can sit and watch others work. I would like to suggest that your work has simply changed. As it does from the time we are young and we are being trained and we become independent, throughout our lives, our work is constantly changing. But we are created for work. 6 days shalt thou work. 6 days. 1st, in our work, the Lord is faithful. So that is the foundation. This is verse 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The Lord is faithful. That is verse 3. And that is the foundation on which we are working. The Lord is faithful, even though we become less faithful, when we become idle or we become hopeless. The Lord is faithful. And how do we display our trust in that faithful Lord? If we don't believe that God is actually faithful in all of this work, then we're not going to do anything. Why would I bother? But if we truly believe that God is faithful, as he says he is faithful, number one, and this we can all do, Verse 1, finally, brothers and sisters, no one is left out. Pray for us. And I think everyone here can say, yes, I have become less than faithful in my prayer life. I could become a better prayer. God is inviting us. Step 1, be in prayer for yourself, for your community, for these communities around the world that are struggling. Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us. Doesn't take any money. It doesn't take advanced education. It doesn't take strong body. Pray for us. Then building on the prayer, look at verse 6. Now we command you, beloved, see the kindness and the gentleness, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition they received from us. Avoid idleness. So the first one is positive, be in prayer. Second one, avoid idleness. It's not just a belief system. So now you might be saying, but I'm retired. I live in a retirement home. I have my meals brought to me. I'm enjoying my old age, and I am happy for you. Good. Well done, good and faithful servant. However, as long as there is life in us, there is work to be done. There is work. We need to discover, what is it that I am required to do? Paul says, stay away from those who have become idle, and don't be idle yourselves. Keep on doing, not just believing. And what happens here, he mentions this, what happens when we become idle? We actually become busy in our idleness. And we know what becomes the busiest. The tongue. Isn't that right? The tongue becomes busy when the hands are idle. We start becoming busybodies. Paul says it. These are not my words. And that's why he says it's so important for us to find things to work towards. This is God's project, remember. We're not changing the world. We don't have to bring universal peace, but if our belief system is genuine and if we really believe the hope that is already enacted here on earth, not just yet to come, we will want to be working with it. However, if we think, like 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, for those of you writing these things down, if our belief is for the future life only, I've got my ticket to heaven. If I've already got my ticket to heaven, I don't need to bother about what's going on here. I've got it made. I'm already boarding the plane, some of you will say. I don't need to work when I'm already boarding the plane to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, Paul actually says, if our hope is for this life only, we are the most to be pitied. I flipped that on its head to say, if our hope is for the next life only, we are also the most to be pitied. Hope is already here and in the life to come. Therefore, do not be weary in well-doing. Verse 13, brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. For some of you who like to listen to quartet music, maybe even from the 70s, I remember old records lying around in our house, by the Imperials. I don't know if any of you have heard of the Imperials, but if you like to Google search or go on YouTube, listen to the Imperials, the song Keep On Walking. keep on walking. We don't know how far we've come. Keep on walking. We don't know if right now Jesus is standing up at the hand of the Father ready for that trumpet call. We don't know what the time is. Let's not lose hope because we feel the time has gone so long and we become weary of waiting. Remember the story of the 10 virgins. We need oil in our lamps. Do not become weary, even though the time is long. We have a future yet to be revealed in us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And Jeremiah 29, verse 11, God says, I have a future and a hope for you. Don't let it go. Do not become hopeless. Receive God's invitation to be a co-laborer, a co-participant in his work of peace and justice. Amen.
Thank you, Lois, for encouraging us to continue not to be idle, but to work for peace. And we'll sing the song and sing the journey, 87, Put Peace Into Each Other's Hands. Number 87, we'll sing verse 2, 3, and 5. Let's stand.
Please bow for the benediction. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in all ways. The Lord be with all of you. Amen.
Let us leave this place with shouts of joy, going out with peace. 427, you shall go out with joy. And be ready to clap if you feel so inclined. 427.
Thank you. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.